Thank you all very much for being here. I'm here to talk about the training program that you've just been hearing about from the fellows from the program called Reach the Decision Makers. This is a project of the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment out of the University of California, San Francisco. The program was developed to address a continuing challenge with developing effective policies at the national level to reduce the impacts of environmental contaminants on reproductive health, and the enormous disconnect, which we've heard a little bit in the discussion, between scientists, health-affected groups, community groups, healthcare providers, and those making policy and regulatory decisions. I have nothing to disclose, except I'm going to try to run two computers at once. So the team for the project includes Dr. Tracy Woodruff, who's director of the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment and is an associate professor in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences and Pediatrics at UCSF. She's done extensive research herself and policy development on environmental health issues. She was also a senior scientist and policy advisor at the EPA. And Jessica Trowbridge, who is here in the back, who is a staff member at PRE, and Jessica provides both the administrative and scientific support to the participants in the program, and I manage and oversee the program and run the training components. So the UCSF Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment, or PRE, their mission is to create a healthier environment for human reproduction and child development through advancing scientific inquiry, clinical care, and health policies that prevent exposures to harmful chemicals in our environment. PRE works at the intersection of science, medicine, policy, and community. So why the Reach the Decision Makers program? What's the problem that this program is trying to address? So the US EPA has a large and important influence over the health of the public, as it has the authority to develop and enforce regulations in a myriad of ways, including setting of national standards to limit pollution levels, setting monitoring requirements for environmental pollution, toxicity testing, and training requirements. Federal government decision makers, such as those at the EPA, often lack the time and resources to always keep up with the latest science. And as a result, sometimes they are forced to kind of utilize the information provided by interest groups, and those interest groups are usually those groups that have money and have funding to get to the EPA. In contrast, as we've already heard, many scientists, healthcare providers, communities concerned about the impacts of environmental toxics on reproductive health lack the resources and experience to have a consistent presence at the federal level. Reach the Decision Makers, this training project is based on the successful project that I helped to create over 10 years ago for the Women's Foundation of California called the Women's Policy Institute. And the Reach the Decision Makers program is funded by primarily Kresge Foundation and some gifts from individuals. The primary goal of Reach the Decision Makers is to connect the scientific, public health, clinical, and advocacy voices in their communication to the US EPA. The training program itself includes 10 training webinars. The teams then have weekly or biweekly team conference calls. We bring the entire class in the beginning of the training program to Washington, D.C. for 2 days of meetings and trainings, including with the US EPA. Then the teams are given funding to be able to, on their own, go to the US EPA at the end of the training program once they have gone through the webinars and done their teamwork to prepare for their meetings. Each team also receives support from the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment, as well as a mentor who works in their specific area that they are focusing on. And then each participant also receives an honorarium to help offset some of the costs of their participating in the program. So some of the training topics include scientific, policy, and advocacy sessions, and we bring in national experts in environmental health, public policy, and the EPA as trainers and speakers. We try to include trainings that you've heard about where the teams have learned some of the lessons in terms of just things like how you work across those differences of community, science, public policy, clinicians, how you are able to communicate finding a common language, how you can distill what you've found in order to be able to communicate with policymakers, and how to manage a meeting. When you're in a meeting of five or six people, without thought, often ends up being the one person in the meeting who talks the most or talks the loudest or feels the need to fill the empty space. And we need to really train ourselves as advocates to manage our meetings so that we can stay on point and we can keep present with the ask to the EPA. The training program is based on experiential learning and adult learning, so it is both a training program where we're training specific content, and it includes the teams having to choose a policy project, something that they will use to go to talk to the EPA about. And that makes the learning more relevant and more successful because the teams, rather than just passively listening in a webinar, after each webinar, they know they have to take what they've learned and go do something to prepare for their meetings. Having that meeting at the end of the year is a great experience for them to really keep them focused on doing the work that they need to do to learn the science, understand how to find science, understand how to communicate the science, and understand how to manage the meetings at the EPA. So 3 years of the program, we have trained 75 graduates. And as you can see, we are fairly evenly distributed between community members, public health and clinical participants, and researchers and scientists. And our fellows come from around the country, including Alaska. And as was spoken of earlier, we have a great evaluation team. Even though they're from UCSF, they're in a completely different area. And so they have been doing the external evaluation of the REACH program. Claire Brindis is a professor in the Department of Pediatrics, Division of Adolescent Medicine in the Department of OB-GYN and Reproductive Sciences. And Anne-Marie Charlesworth is a program evaluator and research specialist at UCSF. So I want to share with you some of additional experience of the fellows and what they've learned from the REACH program, and also some material from our evaluations. So one is the fellows have expressed that learning how to bring their voices to the US EPA has been a major issue, major learning piece for them. My own experience has been really not understanding policy at all, but always being in a position of running a nonprofit agency or being a community advocate. And I would often sit in policy meetings just because of my position and wonder how I should handle myself and what I should say and what I should be asking for. I would spend many anxious nights worried about that I did not handle that policy meeting well. And so 12 years ago when the Women's Foundation of California gave me the opportunity to develop a training program in policy advocacy, I jumped at it because I really feel that this is not something we learn when we learn how to do research, or not something we learn when we learn how to be a healthcare provider, or not something we learn when we take over a community organization. There is no book there until us has been no training program. So that the fellows learned how to engage with the EPA, that they can send an email and the EPA actually answers, that they can say, this is what we think our community needs, and the EPA is responsive, was a huge area for them. The other piece that came up in the evaluation was the importance of actually bringing multiple offices in the EPA together. EPA actually works pretty well together, the different offices, but having an opportunity for them to come together to talk about specific issues with people from the outside was a really major success in the program. Another success was putting folks together into a team, not making these individual projects. But as we accepted people into the fellowship, saying, okay, you're going to work together with four people of like mind who are working on similar areas to learn how to work together, to learn how to work across those differences, clinicians, public health people, researchers, and to be able to go in a unified voice to the EPA. And that many of those folks have continued to work together and continued to rely on each other in networks and in other areas. That was that slide. I knew I'd miss the slide. And then another area of success for the program, for the fellows in the program, was really increasing their knowledge about scientific evidence, how policy is made, how politics affects policy, and how to communicate effectively. And that bears out in the evaluations. And then another area was that fellows in the program have also continued working with the EPA and have continued to be resources for the EPA and have learned in policy advocacy that being a resource to the policy target is almost as important as asking the policy target what you need them to do. So there's a lot of bidirectional communication between the EPA offices and the community groups and the folks who are in the training program. So the fellows' accomplishments have also included, as you heard about, two distinct scientific areas. We also have another example, two teams, one that was in the first cohort who worked with the EPA and asked them to take on a rulemaking process on particulate matter from air pollution. And this is how policy works, and there's actually some lovely designs about this. You know, the advocates are saying you need to do this, you need to do this. The scientists are bringing the data. The policy public health people and the clinicians are saying this is the impact of this condition. And then somebody else sues or the government ends up in court and the court says you need to do this. And then the advocates are ready to fill in the blank and to help the EPA. And it's kind of a process of, you know, pushing and waiting and being there and waiting and then jumping in when the opportunity arises. So recently the federal court mandated that the EPA adopt the new National Ambient Air Quality Standard rule. The EPA then contacted the original team and said, you know, we need to do this. You know, do you want to participate in the public comment periods? We also had a new team that wanted to focus on this area, so the new team and the old team got together and really figured out how to not only participate in the process, but also try to move some things together more quickly. So real relationships built even between the different years. Another fellow was, after her year in the EPA, had decided to apply to be on the Children's Health Advisory Committee and was accepted onto that committee and after her REACH year. So really opening up doors for folks. Members of the fellowship have been co-authors on papers and also been involved in writing articles and blogs since their REACH participation. And then this fellow, who's a medical doctor, after her year with the REACH program, went to the American Medical Association and authored and helped pass a resolution on reproductive environmental health that was accepted by the House of Delegates in the American Medical Association. So the REACH the Decision Makers program, we've had, as I said, 3 years. We are very excited about what we've been able to do. We have really changed the program each year based on the evaluations and think we have a pretty good program right now. I'm never satisfied, so I still see things that I would want to change in future years. But we do think that we have increased the number and skill of scientists, community members, clinicians and public health professionals to communicate with the US EPA on environmental reproductive health. We are currently seeking additional funding to continue the program. Our funding has run out. We had a 3-year grant from the Kresge Foundation. So if you would like to participate in the program, either as a trainer or a mentor or as a fellow, please go to our website and keep in touch with us, and we will post hopefully when we have funding for the taping. I have all my fingers crossed. When we have funding, that we'll be able to open up an application for many more years. So thank you very much for your attention and for our tremendous alums of the program and their presentations as well. Thank you.